Bitcoin hits $85,000, another all-time high, is well above $1.5 trillion in market cap, and is headed much, much higher. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. On today, Monday, November 11th, 2024, happy Veterans Day, and thank you to all the veterans out there. Bitcoin is reaching new heights. Since traditional markets closed on Friday afternoon, Bitcoin is up about $10,000 and saw many of its gains on Saturday and Sunday. Bitcoin opened up this morning at about $85,000 and is showing the world just how much demand is hidden out there for Bitcoin. Now, the first thing is to make sure you subscribe at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe so you can catch all our charts in real time and see how we are thinking about markets. Some of you that are more serious investors might want to consider joining TBL Pro, in which you will receive Mean Median Mode, our bi-weekly risk report, in which we go through every single number that you need to know. Now, in our Mean Median Mode reports over the last few months, we have demonstrated that $96,000 is our price target once we break out of the consolidation wedge. Now, I was asked a question, how did you come up with $96,000? It's a very basic and crude technical analysis technique that I've used my whole life as a fixed income practitioner and as a trader. One of the things that you do when you're a trader is you look at ranges and consolidation patterns, and you try to look at breakout areas and good entry points for a trade. So what we flagged is that the range between 50,000 and 73,000 is a $23,000 range that was basically in effect for over 6 months. Over half a year, Bitcoin was trading between these two levels. The crude technique that I used is to take that consolidation range and simply add it on top of the all-time high, which was about 73,000. So 23,000 plus 73,000 gives us that 96,000 target. So it's not an exact science, but my point here is that if you're going to give yourself some sort of expectation of what you should expect on this breakout, a move to 96 would be perfectly in context. So that's the short-term price target that we have. I don't actually have a time horizon for that. It's really just based off of the consolidation range. So it's not a timed prediction, but more just what is the expectation there. Our base case is 96. And Bitcoin has closed a lot of that gap, almost half of that gap already, in just a couple days after breaking out above 73,000. Obviously, the election results last week in the United States are having some effect, and we want to get more into the election here in a little bit. But before we get to that, let's go back to these candlesticks. You see this blue marked range of 23,000. That's the consolidation range. And then you see these weekly, back-to-back weekly candles breaking out above the consolidation wedge. Now, I know that some of you don't necessarily believe in technical analysis, but we do, and it's something that we use. The reason I use technical analysis is because it is a behavioral study for me. I'm simply looking at this chart and seeing buyer and seller indecision for 6 months, and then decisions started to take place last week. And so indecision makes way to decision. That's the most basic analysis that you can have, but I'm able to see it on the chart. And that's why I really like to use these trend lines. You guys see me, I don't use 100 different trend lines, a bunch of bands, moving averages, a ton of stochastics and technical indicators. I do look at them sometimes, but I'm not going to show you everything because honestly, there's not that much signal. The signal is all in the candles. It's all in the price. All technical indicators, like I have an RSI at the bottom here, which is a relative strength indicator. It basically measures how strong the price is versus the most recent prices. And it's a way of showing when conditions are overbought or oversold. They're all derivatives of price. So I could take every trend line off of the screen, all the yellow, blue, orange lines, the bottom panel of the RSI, I could take everything out and tell you the behavior of the market. And that is my science. That is the way that I operate as a financial markets practitioner. I use technical analysis. It's based on math and behavior. Now, we mentioned $96,000 as an initial price target. We've also poked fun at having your own sewing machine so you can make your own six-digit Bitcoin hats with whatever number you want on them. But all games aside, I know some of you out there are thinking, okay, I want to sell some Bitcoin and I want to use those proceeds to buy other assets. Maybe it's real estate. Maybe it's stocks. Maybe it's an investment in a business. Maybe it's an investment in your own business or yourself. And so many of you are out there that have been in Bitcoin for years are finally looking at six-figure Bitcoin and saying, now is the time when I'm ready to rotate into another asset. And I understand that. And we are not here to offer individual investment advice to anybody. We're market analysts. And so as participants in the market, you yourself are looking for balanced research and analysis. You're not looking for permabulls. You're looking for people that are going to tell you what is going on and use market information for that. So you can guarantee that we will be noting to you when we see signs of Bitcoin being overheated, when we see signs of Bitcoin's cycle being overplayed or has run its course. And we will also tell you that at that point, when Bitcoin cycle does look like it has run its course, that the next 1 to 3 years could be very painful and that Bitcoin will probably reach new heights in several years from now as the next cycle kicks off. With today's macro landscape, many people are worried that they are not saving enough for retirement. Now you can grow your retirement savings with a tax-advantaged Bitcoin IRA using Unchained. The Unchained IRA is the only solution that allows you to hold your own private keys in an IRA vehicle. Right now, Unchained is running an amazing deal for you guys where you can get started with their IRA for no setup fees and no fees for the first year. You can roll over traditional IRAs or other 401k accounts into this new Unchained IRA, and they can help you set up everything. Go to unchained.com/TBL and experience true ownership over your retirement. So there are a lot of factors to take into consideration. We will be doing our analysis and looking at on-chain metrics such as MVRV, and we do that every single issue of Mean, Median, Mode that goes out to our TBL pros. So we'll be looking at signs of the market being overheated, and we will communicate that to you. But until that point arrives, we can use our imagination to think about Bitcoin's eventual path. But in the meantime, we will use our own understanding of the financial system to make other projections and to give you some context for the upside and where Bitcoin could go either this cycle or in future cycles. So I have two numbers for you. Bitcoin right now is at about $1.5 trillion in market cap. Remember that Bitcoin is only about 2% of global stocks and bonds. And it just shows you that Bitcoin is tiny. It's a tiny asset class. It doesn't really register yet on these mega asset class scales, especially with the US stock market being orders of magnitude larger than Bitcoin. Now, we don't think Bitcoin is going to take over the whole global stock market anytime soon or anything close, but instead we have a couple numbers for you. The size of the money markets in US dollar terms, meaning US dollar money markets, and the size of the gold market. Now, the size of the money market, US dollar money market, is about $6 trillion. So that's about 4x from where we are today, or somewhere around $300,000 for Bitcoin. If we put Bitcoin at the size of gold, it's around $17 trillion today, and that has increased quite a bit over the last year as gold has reached all-time highs, and a market cap of around $20 trillion is about $1 million for Bitcoin, so somewhere in that $700,000 to $800,000 range for Bitcoin price to reach the size of gold. So what does that mean? $300,000 to $800,000 is the potential fair value of Bitcoin over the next several years. Well, let's forget gold for a second and just focus on the money markets. If Bitcoin were to reach the size of the US dollar money market, it would be about $300,000. I think that is where Bitcoin's fair value is over the next couple years. Not the next decade or so where we're thinking about when Bitcoin can reach the size of gold, but really just reaching the money market capacity, I think, over the next few years. Now, if there are other participants that believe Bitcoin might reach this benchmark of the US dollar money markets, just putting a 50-50 probability on it puts Bitcoin at a price of $150,000. How do I do that? $6 trillion in money markets divided by 20 million coins is $300,000 per one BTC. $300,000, 50% of that is $150,000. So when I'm doing this quick and crude math in my head, thinking about where Bitcoin can go, I use my own discounting mechanisms and say, hey, if I think something is worth $300,000 and the market might reach a 50-50 probability, that means it'll get to 150,000. And that's how I'm thinking about Bitcoin. So where could Bitcoin go this cycle in the year 2025? I don't know, guys. There's no way for me to know and to project it. I just wouldn't have that credibility if I'm honestly just making up numbers. I give you 96 because I have a real mathematical reason. It doesn't mean it's overly scientific, but it's one of the tricks of the trade that I use, and it's worked many times. Just using this consolidation range and adding it. Ask any experienced trader. They're using little tricks of the trade like this. I look at Bitcoin going from 20,000 in 2017 at its all-time high to 70,000 in 2021. That's a 3.5x. If you do 3x of 70,000, you get to 210,000. So if Bitcoin reaches an all-time high, that's about 3x its previous all-time high, you would get to 200 grand. From the previous one, which was just above 1,000 to 20,000, that was about a 15x. So if you put 15x on top of 70 grand, you get to $1 million. So what is the point of me telling you Bitcoin's going to 150, 300, 700, or a million? It's just not relevant to you guys yet. What is relevant is the breakout, the signal that we try to give you that, hey, once it breaks 73, you are in a no resistance territory and you're going to at least 96K. That's honestly, it's basic analysis that we're doing, and we're trying to give you guys an advantage, trying to get you a little bit of advanced knowledge. Why did we pick up on Trump winning the presidency early? I saw it in the bond market. Now, people might think, Nick, you're overly reliant on the prediction markets. They were wrong about the popular vote. Trump was only trading about 25 cents on the popular vote for the last couple weeks there. He did reach 40. I was watching it. He did reach 40 there with a few days to go. And why do you think that the Treasury market was right? Well, I only have the data that I have. And it is my experience that the Treasury market knows things in advance. Because why? The analysts are smart. They're looking at information that gives them a head start. And so they saw something in the numbers. They said, Trump's coming back. We're going to sell Treasuries. They were right. The prediction markets, there were billions of dollars being bet in a way that showed me that the information was out there. And so don't take it too politically that I'm making these calls. I'm a market analyst that happens to have strong opinions about politics, but that doesn't mean I let my opinions come in to tell you that, hey, the market is pricing in 281 electoral votes for Trump on October 10th. On October 7th, here's my tweet. My read on the markets is that Trump is looking for 281 and he's found them. And tens are selling off on more U.S. optimism after the administration change. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I put a chart in both my letter and my video from last week talking about some of the discrepancies on the popular vote. Let's set the record straight. First of all, I wasn't making any explicit claims about 2020. I was simply noting the enormous discrepancy and drop-off in both Democratic and Republican votes from 20 to 2024. Now, I now understand that the data was much less complete than I thought. Here is an updated look at the vote totals. You can see that Trump has received a few million more votes than he did in 2020. That is updated from when the last chart, when I said he had received less, which at that point, the total was that he had received less. There is another aspect to this, which is that Harris received about 10 million votes less than Biden did in 2020. What the reason for that drop-off is not my business, and it's not something that I'm going to get into here today. We will let the other analysts out there, especially the political analysts, answer all those questions, maybe even the court system. We're not even going to go down that road. What the road that we are going to go down today, though, is the mandate. Now, what does a mandate mean? For those that maybe not be from the United States or familiar with this terminology, the way that our three branches of government work, we have an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch. Laws are originated from the legislative branch, which means House and Senate, and then they're signed by the executive branch. A mandate is when the legislative branch and the president are all together in unison per the electorate. So what happened last week is that the electorate of the United States voted the GOP to have a House majority, a Senate majority, and the executive branch. And so that is what is called in United States political speak a mandate. And it's a mandate. Why? Because the American public have said, we mandate you to reform. And so the popular vote, the electoral vote, and the congressional vote, and the senatorial vote are all telling the President of the United States, the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate that we want reform, and this is what we have voted for. So, politics aside, once again, what does the mandate mean? The mandate means, let's use 2008 as our most recent evidence on what can happen with that type of mandate. Obama campaigned heavily on a healthcare for every American platform. He campaigned on it and he got the Affordable Care Act in the first 2 years of his presidency because he had the necessary votes throughout the legislative branch to get it done. And that's what he wanted to bet his early political career on. You can expect Donald Trump to come in with a legislation that reflects what he campaigned on. And because he has the House and the Senate, he's going to be able to do essentially whatever he wants. Now, I know there are a lot of people that are actually terrified of what Trump and a GOP Congress will do with that mandate and will do with the big one legislation that they can get through in the first year. But in my opinion, what is Trump going to get through? It's going to be what he campaigned on that needs to be legislated, which is a tax cut. And so forget everything else you need for about the administration, all the changes that they're going to make, because they are going to make a lot of changes. We are going to be here following it every step of the way. Once again, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. We publish a great weekly letter called TBL Thinks. We make sure that we go through behind the paywalls of the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, other newspapers out there. We're gathering information on Washington, on China, on the chips industry, on global trade, and we're summarizing that for you there in that letter once a week. Because, you know, when we come to the channel, when I'm writing my own personal letter, we're talking about rates, we're talking about prices. But the information that comes out of Washington is important as well. So we are there covering all of that information for you, and we will continue to. But the changes that are going to happen in Washington are separate from this one item that we can actually quantitatively identify. I don't know how much. What I do know is that the deficit will widen. So that brings me to a little segue here and a side point. I was having a conversation with another voter this weekend, and he said, Republicans coming into power, that's gotta mean some spending cuts and a little bit more fiscal responsibility, right? That's what is gonna happen, right? I said, I don't think that that's gonna happen. He said, they campaigned on it. And I said, did they? Or did Elon Musk have a lot to say about how much money is wasted? Go back and watch the tape. And I watched a lot of Trump speeches over the last couple months. He is not talking about spending cuts. He's talking about tax cuts. He's talking about government inefficiencies for sure. He's talking about a bloated Washington, D.C. for sure. He's talking about sending federal bureaucrats out of D.C., firing them. There's ideas floated to make federal bureaucrats start working 5 days a week in office and see how many quit. All sorts of things are being floated out there by the fiscally conservative folks. But if you think about, not even think about, if you listen to what Trump campaigned on, he did not campaign on, I'm going to cut spending. And this is where his politics registered with a lot of Americans. Americans used to want to vote for fiscal conservative policies because of the debt getting too large. But I genuinely don't think that that is the case right now. I think Americans voted for tax cuts because that is what Trump campaigned on. They voted for tax cuts because they think that the money is wasted in the first place. So why pay into it? That is something that the Bitcoin layer agrees with. We agree with the premise that the US government itself spends way too much money. And so if they can't balance their books, why should they be considering anything in the range of tax hikes? And if that is the case, why shouldn't they be cutting our taxes? And they should, and they will in 2025. So I believe that the American people voted for that, and you will see in 2025 a massive wave of tax cuts that will be legislated, passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and signed by the president. He will also roll out a lot of executive orders that will have a wide range, but I'm not prepared to make any judgment on the economic impact of those executive orders. Some of those orders might be things that you and I agree with. They might be things that seem egregious. They might be things that actually seem like an abuse of power. I actually expect all of those things to occur. The presidency is a dirty job. We've seen every president get their hands dirty within the first few days with executive orders that they sign. I know a lot of Bitcoiners are waiting for Donald Trump to free Ross. I understand that that is a very personal issue for many out there. So we'll be watching what he does. We will do our best to remain nonpartisan and to, from a markets research perspective, analyze the facts on what will the impact of these changes be on treasuries, treasury yields, the shape of the yield curve, and the rest of financial markets, the banking system, and of course, Bitcoin. That's what will be our focus. Our opinion will creep through, but we'll make sure to let you know that this is something we agree with, this is something we don't, and that this is something that we quantitatively are measuring. And so hopefully you know that the Bitcoin layer, we are here to provide opinion for sure, but research and analysis, and in that analysis will be mathematically driven. I have a chart on Bitcoin cycles and the halvings that I'm going to show you at the end of this video, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Okay, a couple more things on the incoming administration with regard to Bitcoin and what it means for Bitcoin, the future of Bitcoin in the United States and the world. Let's start with the First Amendment. I didn't believe when I was a younger person that the First Amendment would be such a political issue, but here we are today in the wake of the Democratic Party advocating for censorship on social media. Now, the American people have spoken that that's not something that they think is a good thing, and we want to make sure that we are advocating for free speech and the First Amendment, but also, more importantly, we should be advocating for making the First Amendment a nonpartisan issue. I am confused that it has become, because the hallmark of a free society is free speech. It's the First Amendment of the Constitution, of the Bill of Rights, is the right to free speech, the right to freedom of religion, the right to protest peacefully and to voice opinions and personal beliefs. These rights need to be protected. Because these rights need to be protected, we have to identify that the internet and Bitcoin live within the First Amendment. And so in part of making the First Amendment non-political is try to make Bitcoin non-political. It's speech, it's math and numbers, it's software, it's a freedom of expression. And even if you think it's a religion, and people critique the Bitcoin maximalist attitude as a religious fanaticism, even if that is a case, and I know that you guys know that when it comes to being a Bitcoin maximalist, it's just something that people that own Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, that's just something that they identify with. And so you can call it a religion, call it whatever you want. We should be allowed to have these freedoms to express, to say, and to transact the way that we want with computer code. And it is my hope that the United States, in this next 2 to 4 years, can do something to solidify Bitcoin and the internet as tools of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights of the United States of America. Next, nationalist agendas versus globalist agenda. Make America Great is not just a slogan, but it's actually a political school of thought called nationalism, which is nothing new. And any student of history understands nationalism as a fixture in political science. Now, how does it impact Bitcoin? And that is what we are here for. How does it impact Bitcoin? How does a globalist agenda impact Bitcoin? A globalist agenda is one in which the banks have the power to control the supply of money, and they use the central banks as basically their agency within the government to do that. A nationalist agenda is not going to favor what banking policies are being advocated at banks. It's going to favor nationalist agendas. And so one of the things I'm anticipating with regard to the new administration, nationalist agendas, and banks is that as a part of a stimulus package or some sort of Make America Great Again legislation that might come over the next couple years, I believe you will have credit guarantees and lending programs via the banks so that American people and American companies can borrow money from banks, invest in American businesses in a in a Make America Great Again categorization, and that those loans will be sponsored by the government and as part of a nationalist agenda. And now think about it. A global banking body, so let's say the Bank for International Settlements, for example, what would the Bank for International Settlements say about the U.S. doing loan programs for domestic businesses that restrict the purchase of foreign and international goods and services as part of those, and then not only that, but allow the banks to silo some of those loans on their balance sheet so that they don't have the same capital charges as a vanilla loan or just an average loan that they make. So basically, a privileged credit extension for the American public as part of a nationalist agenda. Is that going to be something that's favored or is not even favored, but is encouraged by the Bank for International Settlements? The answer is that Trump doesn't care what the BIS is going to have to say about it. And so how does it impact Bitcoin? How does it impact financial markets? Well, an expansion of the U.S. banking system is going to be new money, especially if it is borrow and spend deficit spending or just raw credit expansion and new loans at the commercial banking level. What drives Bitcoin's price higher over the long term? It's new money and adoption. New money is the growth of global balance sheets, and adoption is people using Bitcoin. Both will continue to happen and send Bitcoin's price much, much higher over the next several years and decades to come. But trying to forecast how high it goes or trying to put price targets on it is not what we're going to try to do. Instead, we're going to be measuring things like TBL liquidity, which is our own proprietary metric that TBL pros have access to. TBL liquidity measures the size of the banking system and the quantity of new money and the multiplicative abilities of that new money to go and affect asset prices. That is where we live. That is what we are going to do. Last thing on the new administration, and then we'll get into the halving. The Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. We've had Senator Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming on a couple times here at the Bitcoin Layer. In our last episode, we discussed the potential for a Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. Now, in the days and weeks after, I thought about, well, what happens if Trump comes into the White House and gets a mandate? Does that mean we're actually going to get this thing through and a strategic reserve? I don't know, and I would say that my expectation of a Bitcoin strategic reserve is just a hair below 50-50 right now. That's just my probabilities. But remember what I taught you guys about probability distributions. Let's say it is 49% probability that the U.S. starts a strategic reserve, even if it is just with the coins they seized from the Silk Road saga. Remember, Free Ross, we're going to be watching that. If Bitcoin is purchased or hoarded by the U.S. government in any official capacity, what does that do to the game theory of all the other almost 200 nations around the world? You guessed it. It's a FOMO that we can't even begin to dream about. That might be what is in the price right now. Bitcoin above $85,000 as we speak here. There is something happening. The world has changed. If you can't see it, you're not looking at prices. And if you are looking at prices, you don't believe in our core tenet, which is that price is truth. It is all the information is in there, even if you don't know what that information is. Our job is to try to translate that information, to try to draw narratives out of the price. That's what we did as early as October 7th. When we saw Trump coming back to the White House in the treasury market, a little bit in the stock market, but mostly in treasuries because that's where I come from. That is my world. Okay, last topic here, Bitcoin, its realized price, MVRV, which is the multiple of Bitcoin's price to its realized price, and halvings. Now, for some reason, there is a belief out there that Bitcoin is not held hostage by its halving cycles and by this 4-year cyclicality. It's strange to me because it's 3 for 3 and it's about to be 4 for 4. And so if we are talking about something that's happened 4 times in a row, it just makes sense to me, common sense, that we should be drawing some pattern there or some parallel. And so if there's something that I'm missing, I want to hear from you guys. But what we've seen is that we had a halving in 2020 and a bull market in 2021 and an all-time high. We had a halving in 2016 and Bitcoin reached 20,000 in 2017. We had a halving in 2012 and Bitcoin reached $1,000 an all-time high in 2013. We had a halving in 2024 and we are going to go above $100,000 and beyond, maybe by the end of this year, maybe by early next year. And so you're going to be 4 for 4 on T plus 1 years from the halving, corresponding with parabolic moves in Bitcoin, even if they're short-lived, and all-time highs that shatter all previous records. So you tell me, what am I missing? How is that people don't believe in these halving cycles? I don't know. There's always the argument that people say, well, it's gonna matter less. Well, show me when it's gonna matter less, because it doesn't look like it's gonna matter less this time. So you might have to wait another 4 years for that thesis to play out. And does that really do anybody any good? I'm not sure. Thanks for sticking with us today. TheBitcoinLayer.com/subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe there. Subscribe to the channel. Rate and review on your favorite audio platform. That's a huge deal for us. And we'll catch you guys next time.